Coming up on KUCB News, police are investigating an incident involving Unalaska teens and a handgun. And a local man has died in the island's first recreational boating fatality in recent memory. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. Authorities are deciding whether to file charges against two Unalaska teenagers who allegedly used a handgun to threaten another teen in July. The incident was first reported to adults on Thursday, and while a press release from the Department of Public Safety described it as disturbing, Acting Police Chief Jennifer Shockley has declined to share specifics. She did say that no one has been physically injured and there are no threats against local schools.
This didn't occur on school property or while school is in session, but the fact that it involves students is of course concerning because it's not necessarily a huge step to go from it being a student during the summers to it being a student at the school.
The accused students have not been taken into custody. They've been doing schoolwork from home since officials became aware of the incident and opened an investigation. Shockley says their families are cooperating and police have sent early findings to the State Division of Juvenile Justice. She expects a decision about charges by the end of the week.
All of the people involved are under 18, so we don't go through the same channels that we normally would if we were dealing with the same crime with adults. So we're working with our juvenile justice contacts in terms of deciding what, if any, charges should be filed and what action should be taken next.
In the meantime, educators are trying to reassure the community that it's safe for students to go to school. A handful of families kept their children out of class yesterday, but high school principal Jim Wilson says that's not necessary.
There's a lot of fear out there right now in the community, and just trying to stress to folks that this is a safe environment. You know, just to keep in mind to separate those issues and realize this was the act of a few students over the course of the summer and did not involve the general student body, did not involve a threat to school.
Wilson is also encouraging students to report any safety concerns to school staff. He says the July incident only came to light last week because a student spoke up after participating in Rachel's Challenge. The program was created after the Columbine school shooting in 1999 to reduce school violence and encourage compassion and communication.
I really truly believe that part of what we learned about this whole situation is those kids are willing to come forward and they are willing to talk. We're in the middle of a difficult situation now, but the idea that kids wanted to talk to adults is a very positive first step.
Now, Wilson says school staff and public safety officials are trying to increase their visibility and be more available to students. Staff will be stationed in school hallways more often, while on-duty police are expected to oversee arrival and dismissal occasionally over the next few weeks. An Unalaska man died Sunday when a recreational boat capsized north of Morris Cove. Police say 55-year-old David Long was gillnetting for salmon with another man around 2:30 in the afternoon when their boat began taking on water. Acting Police Chief Shockley says the cause is unclear.
They apparently ran into some kind of problems, either with the net, the boat, or the motor. Not sure what the exact sequence of events was.
Police are still investigating the accident, which happened a few hundred yards offshore while both men were wearing life jackets. Shockley says Long, a longtime employee at Unisea, did not make it off the boat before it sank. But the second man, whose name has not been released, was able to swim to shore, walk to Humpy Cove, and find someone to call for help. Public safety responders received the message around 4 o'clock and set off for Morris Cove. By the time they arrived, Shockley says Long's body was already on the beach.
There were two young men, and I don't have permission from their parents to release their names, but there were two young men who went out and actually recovered Mr. Long's body and brought him to shore.
Responders pronounced him dead at the scene, while the other man received medical treatment and was released without serious injuries. Shockley says the state medical examiner will perform an autopsy to determine the cause of Long's death. Drowning is a likely cause, but she says police haven't ruled out other injuries or exposure to cold water. The weather was calm Sunday afternoon, and Shockley says there's no reason to believe it played a role in the rare capsizing.
I actually can't remember the last time that we had a recreational boating fatality out here. I know that there have been some in the past, but I think it's been at least 20 years.
Shockley says efforts are underway to remove the boat and net from Morris Cove. She says Unisea is handling the boat, while Alaska State Troopers take care of the net. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight. At the regular session, councilors will decide whether to sue the blasting company hired to remove rock before construction of the city's wastewater treatment plants. Officials say contractor Advanced Blasting did shoddy work in 2013, forcing a redesign and causing several costly delays. If councilors approve a lawsuit, officials say the city could recover more than $2 million. Meanwhile, councilors are slated to hear two presentations from the planning department, one on an aerial mapping project, another on the results of a housing study. The city council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. You can also listen to the meeting live here on 89.7 FM or Channel 8 TV. A new report from the Pentagon says a Chinese spy ship sailed near the Aleutian Islands last summer, likely to monitor a missile test underway at the Kodiak spaceport. That's according to a story yesterday in the Kodiak Daily Mirror newspaper. The story reports the U.S. military conducted two tests of its terminal high-altitude area defense system at the Pacific Spaceport Complex in July of 2017. It's unclear which of the tests was likely monitored by the Chinese, according to the Pentagon report titled Military and Security Developments Involving the People's Republic of China, released to the public last week. The THAAD defense system, manufactured by American company Lockheed Martin, is a missile interceptor designed to destroy ballistic missiles in their late stage or terminal flight phase. Last summer's tests intercepted dummy targets fired from military jets near Hawaii, and both tests were successful, according to the Missile Defense Agency. The Pentagon report is an annual document that's been mandated by Congress since 2010, outlining China's economic, strategic, and military progress. Representatives of the Alaska Aerospace Corporation, which owns the Kodiak spaceport, declined to comment on the probability of Chinese spying, citing confidentiality agreements with the U.S. military. The world's largest container shipping company is about to send its first cargo vessel across the Arctic. It's a small step, but a significant one in the expansion of trade in Arctic waters as ice recedes due to climate change. The shipping company Maersk says the trip is a trial voyage. They've characterized it as an exploratory one-off, which will help them assess the feasibility of the route. Ryan Yulia is a senior fellow at the Arctic Institute in Washington, D.C. He says that the move is notable due to Maersk's high profile, but it does not signal an imminent wave of container shipping in the Arctic.
I kind of think we're more talking about a scale of decades rather than years before that is a regular occurrence.
Yulia says the success of shipping companies like Maersk depends on their reliability, getting goods to ports on time. And in the Arctic, weather and ice conditions are still too unpredictable to consider regular routes there. But despite those difficulties, the Chinese state-owned shipping company COSCO, a competitor to Maersk, has been sending ships through the Arctic for several years. Yulia says that's one factor driving Maersk.
Their major strategic competitor is active in the Arctic, so I think they're feeling some pressure to explore it as well.
The Maersk vessel is traveling the Northern Sea Route, starting in a Russian port near the border with China and moving up through the Bering Strait along the Russian Arctic coast and into Europe. New routes for the Bering Strait were approved earlier this year by the international organization that sets standards for marine safety. The Maersk ship is expected to enter the Bering Strait around September 1st. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.